You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we look back at what 2016 held in Wisconsin politics and what's coming up next year with State Senate Democratic leader Jennifer Schilling. First, 2016 was a big year for TV. A young Queen Elizabeth made her way into our living rooms. The O.J. Simpson trial captured the public imagination, again, and artificial intelligence threatened our sense of security. There's a whole lot of TV out there, and it can be hard to know where to start when we're looking for something to watch. Jen Chaney is with us now to help out. She's a TV columnist for Vulture. You can see her list of the best new TV shows of 2016 on the Central Time Facebook page. Jen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, there's so many channels if you have cable, and then so many streaming services. More and more people are making and airing their TV shows. How hard is it to make a best of the year list, given there's so much TV out there?
It is impossible. It's really impossible. And I realize it's a high-class problem, but I believe the number of new scripted series last year was something like 455 or some outrageous number. Even if you're doing this as a job, which I am, it is impossible to watch everything. And the good news is there's so much good stuff on so many different platforms, whether it's Netflix or Amazon or one of the networks, it is very hard to make these best of lists at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's just overwhelming. I almost feel when I read the lists and see all the great shows that I haven't watched at all, it's almost overwhelming. Like I have TV absence anxiety. I don't know where to start with all of it.
Right. I mean, I think comedies were very big this year. And I think part of the reason was it's a lot easier to make the time to watch a comedy that's a half hour. When you have a lot of TV shows you're trying to get through, the ones that tend to be easier to consume, given your time constraints, tend to kind of rise to the top of the pile. But again, I think if the choice is having a lot of really bad TV and having too much good TV, I'll go with too much good every time.
And were there overarching themes you saw in TV this year before we start getting into particular shows?
A couple of things. One is, and this comes from what we're just talking about, that there are so many different platforms now that I think that a lot more different voices are being represented on television. For example, there were more shows that were not only about women, but were creatively behind the scenes being steered by women. A show like Fleabag, which Phoebe Waller-Bridge did for Amazon, was a British show. A show like Better Things on FX, a show like Insecure for HBO. These were shows about women with female protagonists, but they were also writing the shows and really running the shows as well. And you saw that, too, with people of color, with shows like Atlanta, shows like Queen Sugar, Insecure, another example of that again. So I think that's a really positive trend that I've noticed. And then the other thing I noticed was a lot of looking backward. You know, we tend to be a nostalgia-obsessed culture, and I think you could see a lot of evidence of that on television this year. We had not one, but two amazingly good, actually, shows that were focused on the O.J. Simpson trial. And then you had, which we heard in the music leading into this segment, Stranger Things, which I think was the TV phenomenon of the year, a Netflix series that literally looked like it had been uploaded from a VHS tape recorded in 1983. I mean, that was really the vibe they were going for. So there was a lot of, you know, reboots and retro stuff that really bubbled up to the top, too.
Well, let's dig into a couple of shows you just mentioned. These are shows that are appearing on a lot of best of lists this year. Let's start with Atlanta. As you mentioned, it's aspiring rappers in Atlanta, African-American, largely African-American cast. They got into issues of police and communities of color. Here the characters Earn and Paperboy are stopped by police and witness the shooting of a fleeing suspect.
Are you guys here to purchase drugs, weapons for Mr. Arroyo?
We're here for a jacket.
There you go. Take him.
Go. Come on.
Clear the area.
Do y'all really need all them bullets, man?
So I haven't watched the show. I understand it's got comedic elements, but obviously some real serious stuff getting in there, too.
Yeah, and that's something that was true of a lot of comedies this year, that they were really more in the dramedy category, where there's certainly moments of humor and levity, but they're also dealing with serious issues. And I think Atlanta, you know, it was really about people bumping up against boundaries, whether they were racial in nature or economic in nature. And what I really liked about the show is that it just surprised you at every single turn, even just from episode to episode. You know, sometimes you turn it on one week, and the show wouldn't even be about Earn, who's Donald Glover's character, and he's the person who created the show. It would be about his girlfriend and her relationship with her best friend for, like, the entire half hour. And then another week, it would be, like, a fake Charlie Rose-esque talk show with fake commercials embedded in it for the entire half hour. But it would be brilliant and really interesting. So it was just one of these shows that was constantly experimenting with form in a way that I thought was really fascinating and really smart.
Looking at some of the best TV of 2016 with Jen Chaney, TV columnist for Vulture. Another show you mentioned I haven't watched, seems like it's micro-targeted to me, is Stranger Things. A group of boys try to contact their missing friend with the help of a mysterious girl called Eleven. Here's a listen.
That was Will,
Mike.
Lucas, you don't understand. He spoke last night. Words. You're singing that weird song he loves. Even Ella heard him.
Oh, well, if the weirdo heard him, then I guess...
Are you sure on the right channel?
I don't think it's about that. I think somehow she's channeling him.
Tell us more about Stranger Things, set in the 1980s, as I understand it.
Yes, it's set in 1983, and it works just as a sci-fi mystery. You know, it's about a young boy who goes missing, and there's an attempt to figure out what happened to him, and there's implications that he was taken by some sort of a monster, but there are also implications that somehow the government is involved, so there's a whole government conspiracy thing going on. But as you suggested by saying it was micro-targeted to you, it's very much in the vein of early Steven Spielberg, Stephen King from the 1980s, John Carpenter films, and I grew up with that stuff, and so it was just candy to me to watch it. And they did such a great job of recapturing the era, but also recapturing the pop culture of the era at the same time. And there was no other TV show that I can think of that so instantly became iconic, for lack of a better way of putting it, where you would see people dressed up as Eleven for Halloween. Just last week, I was at a Christmas bar in Washington, D.C. that did an entire Stranger Things theme. And that show was only out, you know, what, 4 or 5 months ago? And it stuck. It resonated that fast.
Another show you mentioned, speaking of going back to an earlier era, based on a true story here, the FX show The People versus O.J. Simpson, American Crime Story. Let's give a listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, remember these words. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Now, Jen, this story played on in TV once already, really. I was watching it on and off. I don't know that I wanted to watch it the first time. Should I go back and watch it in the form of The People versus O.J. Simpson?
You know, that same comment has been made to me on numerous occasions. Like, I lived through that trial. Why do I need to go back and watch it again? And I'll tell you, as somebody who also lived through that trial, and it was heavily sensationalized, more than any trial probably in American history, but this show, which could have been real kind of bottom feeder exploitative junk, was done so intelligently, and it was done in a way that really made you look at it from different perspectives that maybe we didn't consider. And I think that, you know, having 20-plus years hindsight made such a huge difference. So, and the performances were extraordinary in this series.
Yeah, talk about some of those. I keep hearing great performances in this show.
Yeah, Sarah Paulson she won an Emmy, and she's been singled out numerous times for her portrayal of Marcia Clark. But I think that that's a great example of re-looking at that trial and the way that Marcia Clark was covered by the media, the way that she was treated by her colleagues. It really gave you a different perspective on it than you may remember having at the time. And her performance was just excellent. We just heard Courtney B. Vance as Johnny Cochran. He was fantastic. So, I mean, that trial was such a microcosm for so many issues that we're still dealing with, like sexism and racism. And I think they brought that to light in a way that made it feel like you, even if you remembered the trial well, it was like you were experiencing it all over again without having that knowledge already in your head. They did a great job.
I'm talking to Vulture TV columnist Jen Chaney about the best TV shows of 2016, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1061. 1, 2, 3, 4. What were your favorite new or continuing shows this year? What did you binge watch or did you watch live? Did you have some appointment viewing this last year? Tell us if you saw certain themes in TV this year. Were there any shows that you felt like you could personally relate to as well? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation in just a few moments, maybe hear from you here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. I'm picking up the conversation now with Jen Chaney. She's a TV columnist at Vulture, and we're looking at the best TV of 2016. You can see some of her picks linked on the Central Time Facebook page. You can join in with your selections at 800-642-1234. Is this a golden age of TV? What did you watch? What did you love to watch this year? Anything you binge watched, new shows or continuing? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Let's go right to our callers. We've got Robert on the line in De Pere. Robert, hi.
Hey, how's it going? I thought it was a pleasant surprise the way that Netflix has some of their shows set up, and the options that we do have for our television or live streaming viewing. I found the Luke Cage series that they did, which is a Marvel character, to be surprisingly very pleasant and entertaining, leaving me hoping for more. And also another series, which is on ABC, I believe, called Speechless, which has a disabled actor in the lead role. If you're familiar with the show, if not, you need to check it out. Thank you very much for your time.
Robert,
I'd like to hear what everybody else has to say.
Yeah, thanks for sharing those with us. So first of all, Luke Cage, Jen, part of like a subset of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that, and Jessica Jones, shows I should watch but haven't. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and you know what? I need to finish both of them as well. This is the problem. There are so many shows that I haven't even gotten to finish those. But to the second show that he mentioned, which is Speechless, that was on my list of the
right.
best new shows of the year. This is a sitcom on ABC, and it's doing something that could be tricky, which is it's a family show, but it's about a family where one of the children is disabled, and it's about not just what he deals with, but it's also about how his situation affects everybody else in the family, but they handle it really, really well. It's funny, it's engaging, and they deal with the issues or all around that in a really sensitive way, but in a way that doesn't lose the comedy in it. So I agree with that caller. I think that's a wonderful show.
Thanks a lot for the suggestions. We'll go next to Lindsay on the line in Madison. Lindsay, hi.
Hi. I would just like to say that my new favorite is This Is Us. I believe it's on NBC, and I love that it has the adoption theme in it, and just the way that they flash back, and there's so many storylines and character developments, I just never know what's going on.
Lindsay, thank you so much. Another network show there, Jen. This Is Us.
Yes, and This Is Us has been one of the biggest hits of the fall season. A lot of people are really enjoying that show. And, in fact, one of the stars of that show is Sterling K. Brown, who was on The People versus O.J. Simpson, which we talked about earlier. And I was talking before with regard to Atlanta about surprises, and I think This Is Us is another example of surprises on television this year where, and I don't want to say too much for those who are planning to catch up with it, but you start watching the very first episode and you think you know what's going on, and then there's this very big twist at the end, and you're like, oh, that's what this show is actually about. And it does that a couple of other times in other episodes throughout the first season so far. And it is. It's a really heartwarming show. There are some things it does well and some things I want to see it do a little more directly. Like, it deals with a lot of issues with race in a way that I feel that they could confront in a little bit more of a daring fashion. But it is a great show, and it's very well acted, too.
We'll go next to Jenny with us in La Crosse. Jenny, hi.
Hi. I know it's a continuing show, but I really like the Fresh Off the Boat. I thought it's, you know, just a really good representation of dealing with moving into a different culture and also dealing with growing up with people having expectations of how you're supposed to be. You know, I found that, you know, as the kid struggles through, you know, going through the different situations, you know, he just continues to have a positive attitude for the most part.
Jenny, thanks a lot. And as she said, Fresh Off the Boat, it's been on a couple of years, still on the air, though. Jen, is that another network show?
It is. It's an ABC show. And I have to say, you know, there's a temptation as we look at the TV landscape and the way it's broadening to think that more traditional shows on network television, like the family sitcom, are sort of going away. But that is not true at all. And in fact, I think ABC has done an exceptional job of putting sitcoms on the air that are bringing really fresh perspective to that format. And I think Fresh Off the Boat is a great example of that. I think Black-ish has been a great example of that. I think Speechless, which we just talked about, has been a great example of that. Just showing us, you know, Fresh Off the Boat is about an Asian American family in Florida in the 1990s. Black-ish is about an African American family. And then, as we talked about, Speechless is about a family with a disabled child. So you get this whole different perspective, but it's all so universal. They're doing a great job.
Thanks a lot for the call, Jenny. We're talking about the best TV of 2016 with Jen Chaney, TV columnist at Vulture. Our next caller is Maria with us in Madison. Maria, hi.
Hi. I would have said Luke Cage originally because I heard someone else talk about that, and then I just recently started watching Westworld, which is from HBO, and it came out in October. So it's sci-fi, but it's also got the Western aspect because part of it takes place in the future. And it's just probably the most interesting show that I've seen in a long time. Kind of reminds me of Lost, like in the early days. I didn't grow up with Westerns, but, you know, they're bringing this from also a sci-fi perspective, and you've got like a star-studded cast. Everybody's excellent. That's probably got to be my favorite show of 2016.
Maria, thanks. I think a lot of people are saying that. That's been talked about a lot anyway. Jen, what do you think of Westworld?
I think I admire Westworld more than I actually enjoyed Westworld. As that caller said, you have an exceptional cast and this really intriguing concept, high production values. It's a very technically well-done show. But my problem with it was I always felt like I wasn't really emotionally invested in it. It felt a little bit chilly to me. And so that kind of had me keeping what was going on at arm's length to a certain degree. I was watching to find out what was going to happen, but I didn't necessarily care that much about the characters as much as I wanted to. That will be coming back. So hopefully in the second season, maybe I'll learn to care a little bit more than I did in the first one.
I get that sometimes with HBO shows, like, wow, this is really high quality, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know if I, like Sopranos, I ran out of steam. I was like, I don't know if I care about these people.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously that's a subjective thing.
Sure.
Everybody's going to care about certain characters are going to resonate for different reasons. But, you know, Westworld is a show about robots, and sometimes it felt kind of robotic to me.
Interesting. Well, Maria, thanks for that. We'll go next to Lynn in Eau Claire. Lynn, hi.
Hi, Rob. I love Lucifer. It challenges everything I thought I knew about morality. And I think it's well written. The characters are interesting, and it's my husband. We're in our 60s. It's our date night.
Wow.
TV watching. Yeah.
Lynn, thanks a lot, Jen. I've heard the name of the show, and that's all I know about it. Have you watched Lucifer?
Lucifer is not one that I've watched. I know that it's on Fox, but again, this is one that there's so much TV. I just haven't had a chance to dig into that, but I'm glad that she's enjoying it.
I was just going to ask Lynn what it's about, but I'll have to look it up on my own time. Thanks a lot for that call, Lynn, at 800-642-1234. With us next is True in Madison. Hi.
Hey.
What did you want to recommend?
I'm recommending Z Nation on the Sci-Fi channel. It's kind of a new approach at a lot of apocalyptic zombie movies and TV shows that have been popular in the last few years. It's produced on the Sci-Fi Channel, directed by the person who made Sharknado. And I like it because the characters don't really have any emotional ties to what's going on, and they just kind of try to have novelty zombies pop up all the time.
True. Thanks a lot. That's Z Nation on the Sci-Fi Channel. That sounds fun. A little less prestige TV if it was made by the director of Sharknado, John.
Yeah, and another zombie show. You know, Walking Dead is still going strong after being on the air for so many seasons. And I think, you know, zombies apparently are always going to play, I guess.
Thanks so much for that suggestion, Z Nation. Jen, give us one or two more shows that we haven't talked about from your list that you want to make sure people hear about.
Sure. One is another network show, and it's an NBC show called The Good Place. And it's a new show. It's in the middle of its first season, and it's going to actually finish out its first season, which is only, I think, 12 or 13 episodes, starting in January. And I think it's really terrific. It was created by Mike Schur, who did Parks and Recreation, another show that I really love. And what's interesting about it is that it's a comedy, But again, there's more to it than that. It involves so much world building. The premise is that Kristen Bell's character ends up in heaven, but there was a mix-up, and some other very altruistic, wonderful woman with the same name was really supposed to be there, but she ended up there instead, and her character is not a very good person. And she's trying to keep that under wraps because heaven's pretty awesome, and they have great frozen yogurt there, and she wants to stay. And that's where it starts from, but it keeps going from there, and it's just so creative, and you start to see there's maybe some cracks in the pavement in terms of how this place actually functions. So it's funny, but it's also, it raises a lot of really kind of interesting ethical and philosophical questions. I really like that show.
Yeah, my wife and I are rewatching Veronica Mars right now, so maybe a newer Kristen Bell thing would be a good one for us.
Yeah, definitely.
Some reboots, remakes coming up or have come out this year. A Gilmore Girls new season at years later, and Full House. Evidently, we needed Fuller House.
Yes, that's right. And you know who loves Fuller House? My 9-year-old son.
Really?
He loves Fuller House. I could take or leave it, but he enjoys it. Reboots are just, I've been trying to think, what was a reboot that came back that was just 100% exactly everything you wanted? And I have yet to come up with an answer. You always get so excited about these things when they're announced because you're like, wow, it's going to be just like it was back when I loved Gilmore Girls or back when Arrested Development was on. And it always feels a little bit off. That being said, I am very excited about the return of Twin Peaks in 2017.
I thought you'd go there, yeah.
Yeah. I'm equally nervous and excited about it because, oh, my God, what a great show that was. And I was a huge fan. David Lynch is involved. So I'm eager to see if that kind of breaks the notion that you can't bring something back again and do it the right way.
Just a few seconds left, Jen. I'm thinking of crafting a New Year's resolution to watch more TV, and I feel weirdly guilty about that. What do you think? Should I go for it?
Oh, no, that's the best New Year's resolution you can make. Spend more time watching television.
Well, Jen, thank you so much. It's been fun talking television with you. Hopefully, I'll be inspired to watch some of these great shows. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Jen Chaney. She's the TV columnist at Vulture. She joined us to talk about some of the best TV shows of 2016. She's put out a couple lists at the end of the year. You can find one of them. I think it's the best new shows of 2016. Got a link for that on the Central Time Facebook page. If you want to help me with my potential resolution, you can make your own recommendations. Share your favorite TV shows out there nowadays, new or continuing in 2016, at the Central Time Facebook page.